Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Guy Haberman here with a different little something-something for the pod this episode because I went to Niners practice this week and had a couple conversations with people that I recorded and wanted to put on the podcast feed. One of them is Juwan Jennings, and it's a couple minutes from a longer conversation I had with him that's on YouTube. And I want to talk to him about two things. One, why he's so good at catching first downs. Two, about his name. My name is Guy. It's spelled G-U-Y. That sounds simple to some of you, but to some of you, you've never heard that name before, and you don't know anybody with that name other than me, and maybe we've never met, so you've never really met anybody with that name. And so I've been asked about my name my whole life, and I love my name because it's unique, and so I'm always interested in people who have slightly unique names, or even if it's a common name, everybody's got some story behind their name, which is always very personal, right? Even if it's a name that the most popular name, but why is it your name and why is it you? But Juwan has a unique name. His name's Juwan, J-A-U-A-N. I've never seen that before. And he said he's never been asked about it before. So I was excited. Anytime somebody says that, I'm happy when somebody says I've never been asked that question before. It's like, damn, that's a good question then. Wish somebody else had thought of that. So I'm going to play like 2 minutes of that, not because I want you to go watch the rest on the YouTube, which you can, just because on YouTube, on the visual, it gets a little louder in the second half of the interview because we're in the locker room and people start talking around us. And, on video, that's not distracting, but when it's just audio, it's distracting that way. Also, I'm going to start with a conversation with Cam Inman. Cam is the beat writer who's covered the 49ers for 24 years for the Berrien News Group now, San Jose Mercury News. And we dive into a lot of Brock Purdy stuff and just the team in general and what he thinks about the Packer game and how he ranks from least attractive to most attractive the teams that the Niners still have to play coming up. So I'm going to play Cam here, and then we'll get to Juwan later in the feed, later in this episode. So here we go, Cam Inman and then Juwan Jennings.
So you've covered the Niners for a quarter century.
Mm-hmm.
They have not won a Super Bowl in that span.
Yeah, it's my fault.
And my question for you is, how do you think this team, not knowing yet what they're going to do, compares to the best teams you've seen that have gotten close, right?
Oh, without a doubt, this is the best team.
Without a doubt, this is the best team.
Well, without a doubt, it's the best offense.
Yeah.
It is the most exciting and fun offense to watch because there are so many players that you can, I mean, it's not reliant upon one guy, right? I mean, with back in the day, you had Frank Gore running the ball for Harbaugh. You had Kaepernick running crazy, catching everybody off guard. And there haven't been many great offenses in the 25. Like Jeff Garcia, Pro Bowl quarterback, he had T.O. to throw to, right? Garrison Hurst was there making a comeback, kind of. But this has the biggest supporting cast where it's not on any one guy. That's why anybody can pick apart whoever you want. It's like, well, Brock doesn't have to do it all because he has, well, that's great. But like, Steve Young had tremendous weapons. Joe Montana had so many weapons. So without a doubt, it's the best offense. And I think whether it's the best team is really going to be dependent on what defense shows up in these next two games, maybe three games, because it's not a championship caliber defense where it's like, oh, that defense is being compared. Like last year or the year before, everybody was making comparisons to the best Niner defense of all time. And I'm like, yeah, that is pump the brakes because you got to actually do stuff in the postseason. And that's why, like, we worry about some of the missed tackles this season or whatever. There's times where, you got to do what you got to do.
You could have walked behind us. That's okay.
Yeah.
No, that's
okay.
Fine. That's fine.
Yeah. We. By here? Maybe. Anyhow, I think it's a really good team. And I think if they don't win Saturday, I'm going to be astonished. If they don't win the Super Bowl, I'd say it's a letdown because I don't know how much better this team can get because it is such a dynamic team. And I worry a little bit about the defense, more about, like, I want to see a better defensive front get on somebody. And now you have a young quarterback coming in and Jordan Love, who's getting all sorts of flowers this week. And it's like, well, let's see what you can do as the stage gets bigger.
Yeah. But they've been able to run the ball. That's the thing with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Armstead back-ish.
Yeah, I mean, that's everybody's counting it, but everybody's saying that's going to be the magic elixir, that the run defense will be solved because now the linebackers are going to know which gap to stay in to go get their guy, which is awesome. Great, if that's the case. Now, they faced Aaron Jones before, repeatedly. I mean, they played him twice in the playoffs. He's never gone for 100 yards rushing on this team in like six or seven meetings. But the last time they played him in the playoffs 2 years ago in snowy Lambeau, that's when Aaron Rodgers kind of like regressed and just was like checking it down to Aaron Jones. So he got like 120 receiving yards, which was useless. The Niners like to pump up the stat that for the last 44 games, no opponent has rushed for 100 yards, no opposing running back. But it's like, well, that's the NFL. Like, not everybody has a 100-yard back. Aaron Jones has gone for over 100 the last four games. I would be stunned if he did it on this team because that's their sole focus is on stopping him and then making, you know, Jordan Love try to throw the ball around the yard.
That's more a situational stat, too, than it is a defense, stout defense. I mean, the defense is good, but you play from in front, it's hard for teams to run for 100 yards on you.
Like in, 2011, 2012, when Fangio had this defense humming, they had like a similar 100-yard stat kind of thing, and Marshawn finally ended it like in a regular season finale. And it's like, that run defense was legit. This one, it's not there yet. Could be. Because I don't think the Packers or the Lions or the Bucks would be any threat to that. And then you get to the Ravens, and the threat to that would be Lamar Jackson if he makes it to the Super Bowl.
Well, you don't have to be a perfect team to win a championship, right?
I don't know, because this team is...
Do you think you have to be a perfect team to win a championship?
This team has not won a championship in almost 30 years, so it's like...
But how many teams that win championships are perfect teams?
There is not a perfect team in the NFL right now. So, right. But, like, this is as close to...
An imperfect team will win the championship this year.
Absolutely.
But an imperfect team wins the championship most years, would be my theory.
Right. But, I mean, there's... And then we start getting in the weeds and say, well, what kept them from winning in past years? And everybody's like, and it's going to come up again this postseason because it's going to be like, you know, Shanahan didn't close the deal against the Chiefs. He didn't close the deal against the Rams 2 years later. And it wasn't that they couldn't rally or come back in the fourth quarter. It's that they couldn't hold the lead. Right. So, like, why are you guys worried about whether they can come back or not? It's like they haven't had to come back, you know, against the Bengals, the Vikings. They came back a little bit about against the Browns without Debo, without McCaffrey, and then with a kicker that missed it. I don't really have concerns about like the comeback ability. And my concerns are, can they finish it off? Because that's something that they have not done.
Yeah. So rank we're not going to, let's give them Packers. And let's just say you're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Rank the AFC. Or you know what? You could include Detroit here. Include Detroit and Green Bay. Include Detroit and Green Bay. Detroit, Green Bay, the Bucks, everybody left.
Uh-huh.
Rank them like the last team the Niners would want to see.
Well,
first. Who's first on that list?
Ravens.
Really?
Yeah, because they just beat them.
Mahomes? What if the what if the Chiefs have beaten Buffalo and Baltimore on the road?
True.
And you get them in the Super Bowl?
That would tell me that their receivers are actually something. And they haven't been anything. I thought the Chiefs would be out. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to win this week. I think the Lions would be maybe the next toughest just because they
ahead
have
of Buffalo.
This,
ahead of Kansas
Ooh,
City.
I really like Buffalo.
Okay.
I think Buffalo could do
it. So Baltimore, Buffalo.
Yeah, Baltimore, Buffalo. I think the Lions are a really good team. I think the Bucks are going to beat them because I think this is just going to be an emotional letdown for Detroit because it was such a big win to beat the Rams. And I think they're a great team. It's a great story. And I think the Bucks have like the same thing with Packers. They have nothing to lose that nobody thinks they're going to win. But the Bucks have playoff tested. They've gone to the postseason the last 4 years.
With Tom Brady, I mean, Baker on
I know,
the road.
But like Baker's playing well, and it's like they got enough parts where it's like they might be able to pull something off, like if the ball bounces the right way. And then if it's Detroit back here on Sunday, fine. I mean, it's okay. It'd be fun, but it's like the Niners, you got to get these two wins. You got to. So I asked Nick Bosa last week about his goals for the playoffs, like, you know, because he didn't have a sack last postseason, right?
Yeah, I saw this.
And I tried to say it delicately, and Nick's very smart about it. And I'm not saying, like, throwing him under the bus, like, bro, you got to step up. But he said, like, I just want to get three wins. And he's like, I just want to win. I want to win three. And I thought it was great that he said three because under Shanahan, they've won two, lost one. Won two, lost one. Won two, lost one. They need to win three because it's all about winning the Super Bowl.
So did you ask that question with a thought in your head that Nick needs to be better than he's been?
Yeah. Yeah, don't you think so?
Better how? I mean,
I think, I'm not worried about like the sack numbers or if he's going to have a monster game at some point. He just needs to have a constant impact. And he has, like, you know, people like that watch the film, they'll see it. And I'd like really need somebody on the other side of him to do the same, because I think everybody got too big expectations when he and Chase Young debuted in Jacksonville together.
Yeah.
And they meet in the backfield at Trevor Lawrence at Buckeye bookends. Awesome. They force a fumble. And then where's Chase Young been since? I mean, he looks like a perfect prototype defensive end. And I'm not saying he lacks effort. It's just there hasn't been the production that you would expect out of him, especially if anybody going on the other side of Bosa. And Bosa's getting doubled somewhat, gets held, but he still needs to make a bigger impact. And when you're going against a young quarterback who might be a little stargazed under the lights, I think it's a great time for both of those guys to step up, especially now that you have Armstead and Hargrave coming up the middle and you're rushing for it. It's like, do they need to rush an extra guy? I don't think so.
Well, it's not, you know, the blitz is, Jordan Love's been okay against the blitz.
Yeah, and that's not what we thought Steve Wilks would blitz more this season.
Right.
And that's why I think the first month or so they were trying to figure it out. And then, as Bosa said last week, he's like, well, then Steve Wilks figured what we do best around here is rush four and play zone coverage.
Yeah. So was that because, you're a perfect person to ask about this. We haven't talked really, like, that Steve Wilks is going to the sideline story died a while ago.
Yeah.
Right? But it was such a turning point in the season.
Was it, though?
At least it was on paper, right?
Yeah.
This thing, A, happened, and then B happened.
Right.
But it sounds like you don't think they're related necessarily.
I think it's just one part of it. I think it's there's so many other factors to it of just how well they get used to play. I mean, the cornerback play has improved over the last couple months, right? Mooney Ward's had a great season. I mean, he said going into this year he wanted to be a Pro Bowl and All-Pro, and he did. And D'Amador Lenore is a guy who thinks he's probably better than everybody in the NFL, which is kind of fun.
It is. You have to
right?
play that position.
Totally.
I always say cornerbacks celebrate all wins.
Yes. And, you know, like for 25 years, I've said cornerback is you're in a no-win situation in the NFL. They want you to fail. All the rules are set up for you to fail.
Yeah.
If you're a great one, they're just going to pick on the other guy.
Right.
And so, like, that's why they need a D'Amador Lenore to play really well opposite Ward. So I think the fact that those guys matured into the system and Wilks kind of figured out what to call and what not to call and just kind of back off and let them play, that's why I think they've had success.
All right, give me your hottest topic, but it's hot topic for a reason, Brock.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say Kristen Juszczyk's fashion design.
Kristen Juszczyk, she surpassed you for Instagram followers thanks to her fashion design.
She has earned it.
And a lot of people.
I mean, it is a great story because she's been working.
She picked up like 400,000 IG followers in like 3 days.
But think about like what her career now as a fashion designer is what she's made. I mean, it's awesome. And we're doing stories on her rather than talking about who's going to win the trenches. What do you think, Feliciano or Burford this week?
Well, you can do that story,
huh?
Too.
I cannot.
See that story.
Do you think anybody in their right mind wants to know about the interior offensive line?
Well, you know, sometimes a journalist's job is not to do what gets the most clicks, Cam. It's to do the most important thing.
Well, that's a journalist's job. But there's no more pure journalists in the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
We're working on that, though.
Yeah? What does that mean?
Every year, I try to mentor young journalists. Go back down to Cal Poly and California Scholastic Press Association. Apply now if you're a high school kid.
How do they apply?
They go to cspaworkshop.org. There it is. I've been doing it for 25 years. We try to keep, I mean, there's still hope for journalists. So
yeah.
Anyhow, what were we saying?
No, that's...
Okay, the hot button story.
I wanted to ask you about Brock.
Well, I mean, I think it really is the storyline of the NFL that's gone under the radar the whole season. A kid who, under a year ago, has a broken wing. His elbow is torn. He can't throw a football. His career's in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And he undergoes a radical procedure to fast-track him back on the field. He gets on the field for week one, and he throws for more yards in 49ers history through 16 games than any quarterback. And it's amazing. And it doesn't get the credit it deserves. It's not like this guy was throwing dink and dunks. He was throwing lasers to the boundaries. He was going deep. You know, he's pointing guys in all sorts of ways, and he's running the offense at the same time that Shanahan loves, where I've never seen Shanahan trust a quarterback more. And just, here's what you do, rip it, go for it. And he's done that to a T. And he hasn't quaked. It's just the only crack I saw was against the Ravens after he threw a couple picks and he threw one across his body towards Kittle. And I'm like, that's a Panic Purdy. We don't need to see Panic Purdy ever again, because that was kind of like a Jimmy throw where you go over the middle and that's where bad things happen. And he hasn't done that for the most part. So I'm excited to see how he does back on the playoff stage, because it was almost like last year him getting injured was such a great excuse that everybody hopped on, because it was a valid excuse. But
it's more valid by the week for watching Philly too.
Right. And it's just kind of like, okay, well, now you have him healthy and you have a great team, so let him turn him loose again and get to the Super Bowl.
You talk to him a lot. You are among the group of people that are around him all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's interesting because he does say things. Like, I watched the interview he did with Mayoko the other day. Mm-hmm. He says things. Mm-hmm. He'll bring up, you know, he'll talk about game manager monikers and what was Tom Brady when he was young and that type of thing. He doesn't talk in a way that sounds like a hot soundbite. Right. He doesn't sound like he's about to launch a podcast, although you never know. He might.
But it's kind of like how he plays. There's a sneaky swaggerness to him.
So just give us you're around him. What do you think he's really like? Because I think there's a question of, like, is the person that we see kind of guarded? Who's the guy the teammates see? Right.
Yeah, I think he's Garoppolo was like, I'm one of the guys. I'm a high school linebacker trapped in this quarterback position with these good looks and great demeanor, right? And Brock is more of he's more of a pure quarterback, that he studies the game so well. He can relate to anybody as he wants to, but part of that is because he's curious. He's been here for 2 years, and he's approachable. So you can go by his locker and say something. But he'll ask as many questions back to you as you might to him. Like, I remember last year, he was just trying to get it settled in the Bay Area and didn't know much about the area. And I go, have you gone to Pebble Beach? And have you gone to the Bay? Have you gone to Big Sur? And he's like, oh, I'm going to write this stuff down. Like, he really wants to know and learn things from you. And I'm like, by the way, you know, you play quarterback for the 49ers. So as the 49er beat writer, I'm going to tell you right now, I basically cover two things. I cover the quarterback, and then I cover the rest of the team. And I go, there's so much emphasis here in the Bay Area on what the quarterback does, thanks to Joe and Steve.
Yeah.
And John Brody or whatever. But yeah. It's so quarterback driven. That's how the NFL has become too.
And Alex and Colin.
So Brock understands it. So he understands that everything he does may not be accepted by everybody, but he's not so guarded where I can't do anything. I'm not petrified by the spotlight. He just accepts it as part of the job. And that's why he's comfortable, because, you know, every year we write down our top three candidates for the Gary Nyver Media Award, of which player exhibits the best professionalism and cooperation with the media. And one of my votes went to Brock, because he's so very transparent. And the whole thing he went through this year with his arm surgeries, and it wasn't just to us, but it was all media. And he would explain, you know, how he felt and how things were coming along. But he'd also often deflect all the credit towards his teammates and coaches, never saying, I'm having a great frickin' year, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, he knew everybody, like, he understood the situation he was in, but he also knew he contributed to it. Whereas I think Garoppolo often deferred to everybody, and that even happened in the game, where it's like, well, you know, Kyle wants me to hand it off 30 times, I hand it off. Whereas Brock's like, I want to take this game by the throat. I am going to find Ayuk on the other side of the field on the boundary when I'm not supposed to do it, and I will throw a laser to him and not worry about getting it pick sixed.
Yeah, the throw in the Jacksonville game to the back of the end zone to Ayuk, to somebody, Kittle or Ayuk.
I think it was
to
Ayuk, because as much as everybody says, oh, that's the worst decision ever, and we're like watching this, and it's like, okay, he lobs it over two defenders, over Kittle, but it's right to the spot where Ayuk could be.
Yeah.
But even the week one, he threw two touchdowns to Ayuk in week one in Pittsburgh, and one of them was front right pylon where Patrick Peterson's draped all over Ayuk, and like, there's no way he's throwing that there.
Yep.
And he threw it. I'm like,
Peterson spent the week kind of talking too, remember?
Yeah, and Brock after the game says, oh, was that against Patrick Peterson? Yeah. As if he didn't know. It was beautiful. It was the greatest shade to throw on the guy. And it's so, because he has that connection with Ayuk, he can do it with Debo. McCaffrey's obviously, I think McCaffrey's still the number one offensive catalyst here.
Yeah.
And then Kittle is, you know, Kittle can do whatever you need him to do, right? If you need him to catch three touchdowns against the Cowboys, he'll do it. If you need him to block, pancake three Cowboys, you can do that. It's fun. It's a fun offense to watch. That's why I said it's I really enjoy watching it.
I have a buddy a few years ago. He told me he played in the NFL, and he told me something a few years ago. He said, you know, there's the perception about quarterbacks, like who they are. He said, and the funny thing about quarterbacks is if you're in a social situation with quarterbacks, a lot of them are, not all of them, but some of them can be really awkward because they are used to it always being about them, right? Like the quarterback is supposed to be about everybody else, but what happens then in return is it becomes all about them. And he said, it's funny, in social situations, there's usually two types of quarterbacks. There's the guys that really are everybody, like they truly are like the guy's guy, right, type guy. And there are guys that are so much kind of the guy's guy that it it actually makes them awkward.
Yes.
Because they're not, they don't know how to handle seven people sitting around having a group conversation.
I think Brock's so grounded and he's grown up like that, like with, because he was Mr. Hotshot Arizona in high school.
Right.
And then he goes to Iowa State and becomes Mr. Hotshot in Iowa State. Where's Iowa State? Is that Ames?
Ames, yeah.
It is Ames?
Yep.
Go Cyclones. Sarah Simpson, neighbor.
Subscriber, maybe?
Maybe. Well, she was like, when they drafted Brock Purdy, I'm like, who's Brock Purdy? She's like, that's my guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
It's funny, every time he throws back over the middle cam, I'll get an Iowa State fan and be like, oh, there's Brock. Like, they recognize that guy. Yeah.
When he, I'll tell you when, for rookie minicamp, when they brought him in for the first time and we met them, and they take him in the local media room back here for like 15-minute interview, 5-minute interview, whatever they can handle, and Brock was great, 15 minutes. And he leaves, and I'm walking by like Eric Branch or somebody. I go, damn it, I really like that guy. I go, he's got something to him. And I go, he's not going to have a chance in hell to play here because Trey Lance is here. And Garoppolo is still kind of around. But I'm like, boy, he seems like he knows what he's doing here. And then you would see him at the locker, and he would be studying a script and plays all the time, just sitting there. Like, you could go up and talk to him by doing it. Kind of like a Lincecum thing. Like, Lincecum was like, hey, if you want to talk, I'm not bothered talking.
Right.
Fred Warner, when Fred was first in the league, same thing. He would sit at his locker and study, right? And it's not like you're showing off to the media that you're studying. It just so happens the media is coming in there at the same time. Brock had the same thing. So, I mean, this kid has got it dialed in.
Cam, anything else? Any other takes you need to unload here?
Probably. I do enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
I listen to probably 3 podcasts.
What's your list? Do you want to share?
Well, one of them is 49ers Talk with Matt and Jen.
Okay.
Okay. But they're my loyal road compadres. So I always listen to them. They're great. So then you. And the third one rotates because I'll delete, like I'll try to get a player one for a while and I'll enjoy it and then I'll delete it after a while because I'm like, I've heard enough about him. So it kind of rotates. And then there'll be like one or two of like some like great podcast. I'm like, Smartless, I occasionally will, but then I'm not that committed to a podcast. Like if I'll go on a run or a walk maybe, but yeah, you guys do great.
They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping, always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert? Get outside. Enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cam, is it short for Cameron?
It is short for Cameron. This was like in high school, I was always Cameron. And then when I started when I turned pro as a sports writer when I was 16 in Cupertino, it's my first paycheck for the Cupertino Courier, my senior year of high school. I changed it to Cam because it's quicker to write. Like all the Mercury News sports writers were, it was Dan, Bud, Mark, and I'm like, shit, you got to have a one syllable name. So, and you're not going to believe this. And this has nothing to do with like the sports writing byline stuff. My wife, Jen, and I have three kids. She's Jennifer, Jennifer.
Yeah, got
our
that.
Three kids are one syllable names, Kate, Brooke, and Grant. And that was on purpose. So it's easier to yell, Kate, Brooke, Grant.
And what is Inman?
Two syllables.
No, but... Where are the Inmans from? Where are those people from?
My father was born in Scotland. My mother was from Buffalo. As Al Davis would say, how's your mother? So, yes.
Wow.
You never heard that story?
No.
Oh, God.
What's that story?
But you'll have to. This is like Bay Area sports media. Legendary stuff. When he fired Lane Kiffin and was introducing Tom Cable at that press conference, like, I was on good terms with Al for 2 years because I had a one-on-one interview with him in his office for 3 hours, the best interview I've ever done.
Wow.
So Al got to know me and blah, blah, blah. And then it turned out, like, so he fires Kiffin, and we're in this press conference, and you have to introduce your name, Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group. And, lights came on just like that. And it's before Al. I could get my question, Al, Al says, oh, hello, Cam, how's your mother? And so... you'll hear Papa and anybody on the radio whenever I go, so Cam, how's your mother? And my mom she's still going, knock on wood. For 20 some years, I've heard that.
Do you still have the audio of your 3-hour interview with Al?
Yeah. In fact, the transcription I have, it reads like it could be its own book because I left every F word in there.
Yeah.
It was probably about 42
fucks.
Can
you do something with that?
I don't know. I mean, it is like, because it was supposed to be about Madden, and it was only about Madden for like two of the 80 questions.
Yeah.
Because Al used that time to go off on so many different tangents, which made it so cool. And like by the end, he was telling me how he'd make peace in the Middle East. He'd talk about naval warship movements, talk about the NFL Network, talk about journalism, talk about everything. And it was awesome. But the best part about it was like after like one of the Raider games, he said, after we like did an impromptu interview with him in the locker room, he says, "By the way, I heard from your mother." I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" He goes, "Your mother, she wrote me a very nice note for meeting with you." I'm like, "Oh my God."
Oh, that's incredible.
I go, call my mom. I go, "How many people have I interviewed that you've written thank you notes to?" She's like, "Oh, just that one."
Yeah. But you can't find a person's email now. That's from a time. It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't an email. It was a letter.
Well, I know. Now you could just, then you could just send anybody a letter and they would get it. Now I don't. You know, somebody's secretary is going to filter that email out before it gets to
and
them.
And if all players, they just get DMs. Like people get, slide into DMs.
Yeah, they do get DMs. They do see all the DMs.
Yeah. I'm going to have a book out next year. Well, this year.
What's your book?
49ers. It's called The Franchise. But you know what's funny? I was telling Charvarius Ward that in the locker room. And he goes, I'd like to read a lot of books. I'm writing one. He's like, "Oh, what's it about?" I go, "The 49ers." He's like, "Oh, I don't want to read that." He's like, "I read murder mysteries."
That's good.
Right?
That's good. All right.
Is there anything else on your mind?
Nope. We got...
Is that it? Time to cut out?
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's Tito's time.
It is Tito's time.
All right. So there is Cam Inman from the suite level, the field suite level at Levi's Stadium. Field looks good, by the way. All right. Now into the locker room for part of the conversation. And both interviews you can go check out on the Haberman and Middlecoff YouTube channel. I hope you will. Here is a part of the conversation with 49ers receiver Juwan Jennings.
Juwan, how did you get your name?
My older brother. My dad named me Benny, and then my brother didn't like Benny so much, so he told my mom to name me Juwan, and then my mother, she came up with the spelling.
And how old was your brother when he got to name you?
He was about 10, 11 years old.
So your dad got overruled on Benny by a 10-year-old?
Him and my mom, yeah, I say so.
And so did your dad ever call you Benny? Like, did he try to nickname you? Or that went away?
No, that went away. It went away pretty fast. I liked Juwan growing up as well, too. It was just a unique name to me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, have you met another Juwan?
I've met a few other ones, but I haven't met another Juwan who's spelled like mine, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about contested catches. When you got drafted, a lot of people, the first thing you do is you go to YouTube, and the first thing you see is the Hail Mary catch at Tennessee.
Yeah,
but then it looks like it's translated to the league. 65% of your catches go for first downs. Feels like a lot of
juice. You know what we're talking about, huh?
It feels like a lot of them are contested. So can you break down why do you think you catch so many first downs?
Really, because most of the time I'm getting the ball is on third down, I will say. And then other than that, when I run my routes, I'm just trying to get as much separation as possible. And most of the time, I do a good job at that, I will say. And if I do create separation, it's gonna lead to a first down.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for checking out the pod today. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. See you on YouTube. We'll be streaming live after the Niner-Packer game Saturday night.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.